This is an ABC podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, firing.
When the coal-fired Northern Power Plant at Port Augusta in South Australia was decommissioned back in 2017, they didn't just switch it off, they blew it up. And Hazelwood in Victoria's Latrobe Valley wasn't far behind. Last year, all 8 chimneys were blasted into rubble.
The next on death row is the Liddell Power Station in New South Wales. It's slated for closure in 2023 and for demolition not long after that. Now, for years, the federal government has been saying coal-fired power plant closures cause blackouts, job losses and power bills to soar. So is that going to happen with Liddell? I'm Stephen Smiley.
And I'm Ange Lavoie-Pierre, and today on The Signal, this month marks the deadline the federal government gave the energy industry to make a plan for a world without Liddell and create 1,000 megawatts of new power, or it would fund a new gas-fired power station. So has the industry filled the gap? And what happens when Australia's other coal-fired plants shut?
So we've known for years now that the energy company AGL has been planning to decommission the Liddell power plant in the Hunter region of New South Wales. And almost since it was officially announced in 2017, it's created political controversy. Back in 2018, for example, the former Prime Minister Tony Abbott was saying that his successor, Malcolm Turnbull, should step in to buy the plant to keep it operating.
This is a strike against the national interest by a big business. My very strong view, Ray, given that the federal government has effectively now got responsibility for energy security, the government should compulsorily acquire this power station for the price that Alinta were prepared to pay, and then it should sell it to Alinta, and they can operate it. And that way, we keep Liddell open, and we don't have the government running a power station because Alinta has put its hand up and said, we'll do it.
Now, the explicit subtext to all of this has been that wind farms and solar panels are an inadequate replacement for coal. The theory goes they're not reliable and there aren't enough of them yet to fully replace a major coal-fired power station. Part two of the argument is that the technologies to support their integration into the power system, like batteries, just aren't up to the job yet.
Right, and in response to all those arguments, last September, the Prime Minister Scott Morrison issued what you might call his Liddell ultimatum to the energy industry. Prove that you can replace the lost output of Liddell by April 2021, which is now, or the government will sail in and build a gas-fired power plant for you.
If the energy companies choose to step up and make these investments to create that capacity, great. We will step back. If not, my government will step up and we will fill the gap.
So to hear about how the industry has gone with that challenge and how all this fits into the big picture in Australia, we called Tristan Edis. He's an energy analyst and the director of the advisory firm Green Energy Markets.
Now, look, we want to focus in this episode on Liddell and the closure of Liddell and what will replace its generating capacity. But before we do that, maybe we'll just take a bigger picture look first. Can we talk about coal-fired power in Australia? We still rely on coal for quite a lot of our power. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. So it provides over 50% of our electricity needs. It did provide substantially more than that a few years ago, but it's been steadily displaced over the last few years. But it represents a very large proportion of Australia's electricity supply, and it's quite unusual. Actually, Australia is far more dependent on coal for electricity than most other developed nations around the world.
Okay, so we do still burn a lot of coal to make power in Australia. But as Tristan says, its share is dwindling. And that's because, as we mentioned, those power plants keep closing.
Yeah, and on occasion, that has created major disruption.
So, look, we've had a number of coal-fired power stations close over the last 10 years, most of which weren't a particular issue because they weren't that significant a proportion of supply. But when Hazelwood shut, it was shut within, I think, about 6 month notice period, and it was a substantial source of supply for the electricity market. And there just wasn't enough time for other replacement plant to be built. And consequently, we saw one, a very large increase in power prices. And the second thing was we saw a greater risk of power outages. In the end, there weren't that many power outages, but nonetheless, we got very close a number of occasions after Hazelwood shut in conjunction with another substantial power station in South Australia called Northern. So those two were the ones where we saw quite a disruptive impact because we didn't get a lot of notice and there wasn't enough time for companies to go and build replacement plant.
And that is the simple version of why those problems occurred. Is it just the capacity that was suddenly taken out of the network just wasn't there to replace it once those power stations went offline in a hurry?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So building a power station takes time. Typically, a solar farm is one of the quickest things you can build, but it still takes around 12 to 18 months. To fully come online from the date that everyone signs contracts. A wind farm can take usually it's around a year and a half to 2.5 years. And then a gas-fired power stations, they can take as short as 12 months if you go for something small and modular, but something bigger takes about 3 years. Batteries can be much faster. They're about 6 months. But nonetheless, there are considerable time lags involved before we can get replacement plant in place. And when you only give 6 months notice and you withdraw a very large proportion of supply, it's going to have serious consequences.
Okay, so the next big coal-fired power station that's going offline is Liddell, of course, in New South Wales. And we have had quite a bit of notice about this one. It's due to be decommissioned in 2023, so 2 years from now. Tell us about how important Liddell is for the energy security of New South Wales.
So with Liddell, what AGL did, which was very different to what we saw with other companies, is they actually gave more than 7 years' notice of closure. Now, they didn't have an official confirmation, but they said, look, we intend to shut this plant. And then they made it official a little bit later. But they gave us 7 years' notice. It is still a substantial proportion of New South Wales electricity supply. It'd be somewhere in the realm of 15%. So it is significant. But what has happened is, in the meantime, we expect we'll add an amount of generating capacity in wind and solar that is equal to six times the output of Liddell.
Okay, so case closed. No need to build a gas-fired power station then.
Well, not necessarily. Probably the reason that people listening to this have heard about Liddell is because the federal government has been very voluble about its worries about the loss of Liddell's generating capacity. What exactly has the government had to say about this? And from your look at the market, what do you make of it?
Look, the reality is they've been trying to create essentially a false sense of fear around the exit of Liddell. And so there has been analysis. So when the federal government started kicking up a stink about the exit of Liddell and suggesting that it was going to put our power supply at risk, AEMO, which is the energy market operator that runs the system, they projected that the reliability standard would be met in New South Wales throughout the entire outlook period that they'd modelled, which went out to 2026-27, so well after Liddell would shut. Now, that was also reinforced by subsequent analysis that was undertaken by what is called the Reliability Panel, which also found that the level of, I suppose, the likelihood of having outages was very small in all regions across the entire period modelled. So we had both of those analyses released, one in 2017, one in 2018, both saying look, we can cope with Liddell going. And then since that time, we've then had this huge injection of additional commitments to build power stations. So we've got something in the realm of 30,000 megawatts of renewables that will be added to the grid before Liddell shuts. So between 2018 and 2023, 24, when Liddell is due to shut, we're going to have about over 30,000 megawatts of renewables added to the grid. By comparison, Liddell is 2,000 megawatts. Some people might go, oh, but that's not reliable. That's, we don't want to rely on the wind. We don't want to rely on the sun. In addition to that capacity, we're also had commitments to 1,000 megawatts of battery capacity since 2018. So you layer those two. Now, we've also looked at weather patterns and looked at, okay, well, would this solar and wind deliver energy when it was required? And what we found was of the 8,200 gigawatt hours of supply that currently comes from Liddell, almost all of that would be covered by the solar and the wind, even taking into account their variation most of the time. So in the middle of the day, we will be swimming in power. There will be way more power being produced from this extra capacity than what would traditionally be coming from Liddell.
You were sort of saying before that in this, you know, in this scenario where we have more and more wind and solar resources, there is every so often and quite rarely this issue where demand is exceeding supply. The government obviously is quite keen on gas. We've been hearing this for a while now. Is more gas likely, do you think, partly to fix that problem?
So the key thing is the problem is not Liddell. That's what people need to keep in mind. The problem is the next coal-fired power station that's likely to shut. Liddell had to go. Essentially, Liddell would have been operating at about 1% of its total capacity because of all of this extra supply. So it would have struggled to stay online. And so that's not the issue. The issue is the next coal-fired power station is likely to shut probably before 2025 because it's just not profitable to run. And we will have a gap, or it's likely we'll have a bit of a tight gap there if that was one of the larger coal-fired power stations that was to go, like, for example, Eraring in New South Wales, which is the largest coal-fired generator in the national electricity market. That was one of the ones that we found was likely to be unprofitable by 2025. And if it was to go, then there would be periods of time. We're not talking large chunks of time, but there would be substantial chunks of time where supply would be tight.
Okay, so to recap that, if you follow Tristan's analysis, there won't be a need to build a gas-fired power plant to cover the Liddell shortfall, but there might be one slightly further down the track if operators of some of the other coal-fired power plants decide to get out of the market, especially if a few of them decide that simultaneously, or if one of the really big ones does.
Yeah, and look, Tristan also says on one level, the federal government has been trying to plan for this world of more renewables, and not just in the form of a gas-fired power station that could smooth out the intermittent availability of solar and wind either. It's also funding a massive pumped hydro storage facility called Snowy 2.0 through its company Snowy Hydro, for example, and that will come online in 2026 or so.
Right, but the big problem there, as Tristan sees it, is that both of these things are examples of the government stepping in and funding interventions into the electricity market, rather than leaving it to companies like AGL. The issue there being, according to Tristan, that it distorts the market.
Essentially, it forces private sector investors to second guess. So with any of these investments, you're generally talking hundreds of millions of dollars. If we're talking 1,000 megawatts, that, you know, we're talking in that kind of realm of money. So you sit there and go, okay, well, I can make money on this substantial investment if I can allow it to generate revenue, a reasonable gap in the market over an extended period of time. But if you're sitting there going, okay, well, if I build it, that Snowy Hydro go and build this gas generator as well as Snowy 2.0, well, then maybe my window of opportunity to make money out of this new plant is only going to be a year or two.
Right. So what Tristan's saying is that the government's investments in the market in the form of Snowy 2.0 and its threat to potentially invest more in the form of a hypothetical new gas-fired power plant actually have the effect of discouraging the private sector from making investments like these itself.
There is a legitimate issue about needing new dispatchable capacity added to the market. The issue is who's best placed to evaluate what technologies are the most appropriate and where they should go. And I think if the government goes ahead and does this and says, oh, I'm absolutely convinced it's gas, and then it turns out batteries are way cheaper and fill the gap better because they're faster response, then us, the general public, end up wearing the cost. Whereas if that mistake was made by a private sector entity and they were the ones that built the gas-fired generator and it turned out that that was not a sensible decision and, you know, they have to close it in 5 years' time because, you know, emission controls and these sorts of things, well, that wouldn't be worn by the general public. That would be worn by a series of private sector investors, many of whom are probably foreign companies. Generally, governments may probably not in the best position to judge the different technology choices and the right timing and the right place. And so that's the issue there. And the fundamental other problem is it feeds into a political issue. And we already saw that with Liddell. Why were they making such a song and dance about Liddell closing when the officials, the experts out there said, no, this is not an issue. We have enough supply.
That's the signal for today. If you're enjoying the pod, please take a sec to write us a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you want to get in touch, our email is thesignal@abc.net.au.
We love to hear your story ideas, your feedback, as long as it is praise, of course. And we will catch you tomorrow. Bye.
Happy Thursday. Bye.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.